few months ago, I had a really cool opportunity to go to a different country and meet someone. And when we talked, we talked about this theme passage, 1 Samuel 12:24, and in that, we hear Samuel talking to Saul, and he says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of your heart, considering what great things he has done." When I hear that verse, you know, I think about this this guy that I got to meet in Romania, a guy named Jim. Jim, in the early 90s, he had an opportunity to go to Romania, and he got to see what was happening in Romania. So to give you a little bit of an idea of what was happening is, Romania was a dictatorship. It was a communist country, and there was a guy in power named Ceausescu. Now, Ceausescu started, much like Saul, as a promising figure. The people loved him. But as the years went by, his sin began to rear up, and he started making some really bad decisions, and he was just a bad guy. But one of the things that he did in Romania is he wanted a really young a young country so that he could basically make them do whatever he wanted to do. And so he made a law that anyone who was married and could have kids by law had to have at least 5 kids. Everyone, at least 5 kids. More, I mean, if you have more, you're a hero. And so this happened. And I mean, by law, they were making sure that everyone was having the amount of kids that they needed to have. And you know, fast forward a little bit, Ceausescu, he was making poor decisions, and so the people of Romania were kind of sick of him, and he was making really, really bad decisions. And so they actually overthrew Ceausescu. And he had to run from power, and it was just this crazy revolt, uprising, revolution. So now Ceausescu's out of power, but there's still hundreds of thousands of young children who legally were born. I mean, they had to be born. The parents had to have them. But when the revolution happened, everything crashed. I mean, their whole country crashed economically. So the money was now worth nothing. You couldn't find food. And if you could find food, the money wasn't worth enough to buy it. So nobody could get food. And then water was hard to find. Everything fell apart in Romania. And so what happened was all of these parents who had to have these kids, they couldn't take care of their kids. You know, if you have 5 kids and you don't make enough money to do it, what do you do? So they were taking their kids in masses, thousands. They were taking them to orphanages. So all of a sudden, there's this problem of hundreds of thousands of orphans in the country of Romania by no fault of their own. And Jim, he went over there and he got to see that. And one of the things that he said is, someone's got to do something about this. So he went home and he started talking about, hey, we got to do something. We have to work with the orphans in Romania. Somebody must do something. And something happened in his heart where he went, oh, somebody. I'm somebody. I need to do something. And so Jim went back to Romania and he started an organization called Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart goes into the state-run orphanages. And what they do is they provide courses. They do tutoring. They spend time with them. But they bring the gospel as well. Heart to Heart is a ministry that works from the very youngest all the way up until college age. You know, eventually an orphan will age out of an orphanage, and then what? So they'll go into baby hospitals. We'll see a little bit about this, but they'll hold babies that were abandoned. Many of them, they find in the trash cans. They find out on the side of the road. And they hold those babies. And the reason they do that is so that they don't have attachment disorders. And that's how they love those people. They have elementary age students who go through the orphanages. Students your age. I got to meet so many in Romania that were your age, living on the streets. And then they go into orphan care. And, you know, they get to interact with Heart to Heart. All the way through high school and college, where they go into trade schools and they learn how to be an adult. You know, I think there's a dichotomy there. There's something there when we look at Ceausescu. In my head, he's just hands down. He is Saul in Romania. Then you look at a guy like Jim, a guy who steps up, much like the boy here in the drama, and says, "I will do it. Whatever needs to happen, I'll do it." And now they've been in Romania for years, and there's so many cool stories because of what they're doing there. Guys, we made a video as we were there, and I want to share this video. But as you watch this, I want you to be thinking about ways that that maybe you could be involved in what international missions look like. Check out this video.
Good morning, Meadow Ranch. So, how are you guys doing? Good week so far? That's good. How could you not up here? I want to just take a little bit of time to try to encourage you and share with you a little bit about world missions. And you're sitting there saying, "Ah, come on, Jim. Are you kidding me? I can't even go on a date on my own. I have to have my mom drive me. What am I going to do with world missions, right? What are you going to do at your age?" Well, in the Bible, Paul wrote a letter to a guy named Timothy, and he said, "Don't let anybody put you down because of your age." And I want to put the same thing on you guys. Don't let anybody tell you, "Oh, you can't do this," or "You can't do something." If God has put it on your heart, you can do absolutely anything. In fact, I want to tell you a story about a girl, actually a little bit younger than you guys. Her name is Chloe, and Chloe called me up on the telephone one day, and I answered the phone, and this little girl on the phone said, "Hi, my name's Chloe. I was on the internet. I saw that you work with Romanian orphans. I got to know more about it. Please tell me." So I kind of talked with Chloe for a while, and pretty soon I said, "Chloe, how old are you?" She says, "I'm 8. And I went, 8 years old, Chloe, that's pretty amazing. I mean, you're on the internet, you're finding out stuff." And she says, yeah, but I've got to do something about the orphans in Romania. Can I come?" And I'm going, "Well, Chloe, you're kind of young. You might have to grow up a little, or maybe you could get your mom and dad to bring you." And she says, "Oh, that's a great idea. I'll talk to my mom." And she hangs up the phone. And I'm thinking, there's no way this 8-year-old girl is going to convince her parents to take her to Romania. So I didn't think any more of it. About a week later, I get a telephone call from Chloe's mom. And she's saying, "What in the world is all this about Romania and orphans? My daughter Chloe just won't stop talking about it. She won't even give me a minute's rest." And so I talked with Chloe's mom for about an hour. And, we're going all over this kind of stuff and how it works and what we do. And she says, "I got to talk to my husband." Now, you guys, what does that mean? Yeah, forget it. It's over. It's done, right? So I hang up the phone. Rest assured, this is over and done with. About a week later, I get another telephone call. Chloe's dad. Now, Chloe's dad is a lot more straight to the point. "What's this going to cost me?" So I explain to him the costs and all that kind of stuff. And there's this really long, long pause. And he says, "Wow, that's a lot of money." I said, "Yeah, it is." And he said, "Well, I'll have to think about it." And he hangs up the phone. Now, how many of you know what "I'll think about it" means? Yeah, absolutely not. Nothing's going to happen, right? So out of my mind, I'm back to work. A couple of weeks later, I get another phone call. It's Chloe's dad. He says, "Okay, Jim, we're coming, and I'm bringing 20 other people with us." I go, "Sorry, I think I've got a bad connection here. What did you say?" He says, "Yeah, we're bringing 20 other people." I said, "Wait a minute. How do we go from an 8-year-old that found us on the internet to now you're bringing a team of 20? What happened?" He said, "Well, it's Chloe. Everywhere we go, all the time in church, all she's ever doing is talking about going to Romania and helping orphan children." She said, "She has collected a whole group of people, and we're coming. Are you ready for us?" That church has sent teams for the last 15 years. They've sent 4 containers of supplies, all because of one girl who stepped up and said, "I can do that. Doesn't matter how old I am." The challenge I put out for you guys is Think big. Think outside the box. Let God just really stir your heart. Come and talk to me. I'm going to be hanging out here all day. But if there's anything that God has put on your heart, don't let anybody take that away from you. We're going to have a little more of the video. I want you to meet some of the people that I work with and some of the kids that have grown up with me. And I want them to tell their story to you.
Oh, man, it was so cool to spend time with Isabella and Sendell as we got to meet them. And realistically, they grew up like your kids. I mean, you had them for a long time. And now Sendell just recently, the guy just recently graduated from seminary. Am I correct?
That's right. It's yeah. 2 weeks ago.
Man, that's amazing. With that, there's another story, and I want Jim to share this next story because, he shared the story about Chloe, but this next one is really interesting because it was actually your daughter who did this. So share with us the story of Anna.
Several years ago, we were having to bring in food and clothing and a lot of just the basic needs for the kids. And we have the big container on our property, and we would collect clothing and stuff, and when the container got full, we knew it was time to order in one that we could ship overseas. But all this clothing would come in, we'd have to go through it and sort it out and, get it into the right sizes and stuff and, throw away the stuff that's, like 50 inches in diameter. No little kid's going to wear that. And so my kids would always be working with me doing this. And one day my daughter, Anna, who was just going into junior high, she said, "There's no underwear. What do the kids do over there?" And I said, "Well, this is secondhand clothing, so it's maybe good that there is none, but, they just don't have any." And she says, "Oh, that's terrible. We got to do something about that." And I said, "Well, I don't know what we can do, and I didn't think much more about it. She went to her student council at public school, junior high in Ramona, California, and she said, "I want to start a drive that students will be helping orphans in Romania, and we're going to collect underwear." And I was thinking, oh, this could go really bad really quick. I don't know how this is going to work out. And, she just got up and publicized it and got people going. And in 2 weeks, we had a drive, and they collected 750 pounds of underwear. Now, we usually talk about underwear in pairs or something like that. Pounds of underwear, that would cover the stage. Just piles and piles of it. I mean, we're packing this stuff up and compressing it down and getting it into duffel bags and all this stuff so I can fly it over there. And I took the trip over. I took 12 bags of great big huge duffel bags. This was back when you could put 100 pounds in a bag and fly with it. And we flew all that stuff over there and distributed it out to the kids. And boy, it was the greatest thing. We had one little boy. He was so excited. He got his Spider-Man underwear. He wore them on the outside of his pants. It was like, it was really cool for him. So, I'm flying back home, and I'm sitting in the seat, and the guy comes and sits down next to me, and he's saying, "What are you doing in Romania?" And I start explaining to him, told him we'd just gone to Romania and delivered all this underwear. And he says, "You guys need underwear?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And he says, pulls a card out of his pocket, hands it to me. He says, "Call me when you get home." It was the president of Jockey Underwear. Jockey Underwear has donated a truckload of underwear every year since then. So it's what one kid can do.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. I love that story. That's such a cool story. It's such a cool story because, and much like the story before that with Chloe, it's because someone said, I'll do it. I'll do something. I think a lot of times in your age group, you feel like you don't really have the ability to do anything. But I know for a fact every single one of you are into something. You enjoy something. You like something. And I don't think you realize the amount of influence that you have. What are those things that you like doing? For me, I've had the pleasure of being able to travel to a couple different countries. And one thing that I really enjoy is I enjoy photography. So I always bring a camera and I'll take pictures. But something happens, and I've kind of made it a rule every time I travel overseas, is that I bring my camera and I'll be snapping photos. But eventually, I'll be with some people and I'll take the camera off my neck and I'll put it around their neck and I'll say, "Hey, you go take photos." Well, for those people who, this is an expensive piece of equipment, they know that, they understand that what I'm doing is trusting them. And so they start going around and they're taking photos, and usually they're awful photos, but that's fine. They're just going to go take photos. And we eventually start talking. And I look for these inroads of how can I have conversations about who Jesus is with these people. And they'll say, why are you here? Like, they're holding my camera. Why are you here? Well, I came to learn more about you guys and to take photos. And so as we start to talk, I can start to say things like, do you know who Jesus is? Are you connected with the missionaries? That, you know, I'm usually hanging with missionaries. And come meet these missionaries. Come hang out with them. And it's amazing what can happen when you enjoy something and you share what you enjoy with other people. I don't know what you guys do. I can guarantee there's a lot of really good soccer players here, a lot of really good basketball players here. There's probably tons of you who are awesome at drawing. Maybe you are a phenomenal musician. Maybe you're a cheerleader and you're really good at getting people excited. I don't know what those things are. Maybe you're phenomenal at video games. There's so many things that you guys are good at. Every single one of you is talented at something. For me, it's photography. I like that. But how can you use that gift? How can you use that talent that God has given you to give back to the kingdom of God? What does it look like if you were to go to your sports teams and as you're playing soccer, you start having conversations? What does it look like in art class, in band? You start talking, hey, you know, I got a really cool opportunity. I went to Hume this weekend, but also I'm involved in my church. Like, what do you think about Jesus? What happens when you die? Yeah, start having those conversations. Because right now you have an unbelievable amount of influence, and I don't think that you realize it. But if you are a people who say, I will do it, if you're like the boy, I will do it, your schools, your families, your communities will change because you want to have conversations about who God is and what he did for you. Guys, there's so many opportunities for you to be involved. You know, Jim got to talk to you about one opportunity in Romania. He's going to be out at the Human Beings deck today, and he's got these cards. And on the cards, he went around, he took photos of all of the students that he works with. Well, not all of them, some of them. And on those cards, their laminated card, it has their birthday on it, the day that they were born. And what's going to happen is if you want to, at 1:15 today, he'll be out there. When the bell rings, you can go hang out with him, talk to him about what Heart to Heart does, a little bit more in depth. But also, you can buy one of those cards. It can be $10, and that money goes back to Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart uses that in a couple ways. One of them is to provide the opportunity for camp, what you guys are doing here. You know, they run a camp out there in the mountains of Romania, actually nearby Dracula's castle, which is pretty crazy. So they run camp out there by Dracula's castle. And that money goes back to them so they can do that. But also, that $10, when you buy one of those cards, it goes to supplying birthday presents and Christmas presents. You never really think about the fact that an orphan doesn't get those things. You know, I think we take it for granted. We get presents, we get birthday presents, we get Nintendo Switches for our birthdays and all that stuff. But an orphan in Romania, they don't have that opportunity. So what's cool about what Heart to Heart does is they are able to love those students and giving them stuff like that. Also, when you grab that card today for $10 out at the Human Beings deck, is it also gives you an opportunity to continue to pray for that student specifically. You know, they are given a rough hand, and thankfully the Lord has brought Heart to Heart along to be able to be involved in their lives, but to pray for that student specifically, to be able to pray for the ministry of Heart to Heart. Heart to Heart isn't the only ministry. I want to challenge you guys today. We're going to break out here in a second and hang out in our cabins, but I want to challenge you guys today to be talking with your counselors and youth leaders. I know that so many of your churches are involved in ministries either abroad, overseas, or ministries even in your own local cities. I want to challenge you today. When we break out and you spend time with your cabins, I'm going to challenge you that you talk through what those ministries that your church is involved in, talk through what those do and how you can personally be involved, how you can be a person that says, I will do it, I will be involved you know, much like Anna and Chloe, people who take up the responsibility and make a change. When we dismiss here in a second, you're going to go out with your cabins, and you're going to spend some time. I want to challenge you to do a few things with your cabins. I want to challenge you to pray for the ministry of Heart to Heart, what they do overseas there in Romania. Pray for that ministry. Pray for God's hand to be over it, and that they will continue to see students making decisions and students learning what it looks like to be a child of God. I want you to pray also for the missionaries that you guys partner with, that are partners with your churches. They need your prayers. They covet your prayers. So we're gonna do that, and then after that, so the bell is going to ring. Now, when the bell rings, that means that it's time to get ready for a little thing today that we call recreation. So you're going to get ready for that. You're going to get ready for that. Today is a crazy day. We got Relay Day today. We're going to hear from Luke and Monica. But that's when the bell rings. That's when you're going to stop hanging out with your cat. Well, still hang out with them. Get your stuff. But here's the deal. Right now, I'm going to pray, and then you guys are going to go hang out with your cabins, praying for missions. Now, at 1:15, like I said, Jim is going to be out on the human beings deck. You can go hang out with him. And then tonight we're actually going to take an offering, and that offering is going to go towards running camp for students overseas. Hume has a really cool opportunity. We go to Papua New Guinea, and we spend time with missionary kids, third culture kids, out in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, running camp for them. We also go to Thailand. We run camp for students there in Thailand. And the money from that is gonna go towards Hume International and what that looks like globally as we run camp and as we bring the gospel out. So keep that in mind if you want to do that tonight. We'll do that offering tonight. But let me pray for us, and then we'll head out to our cabin times. Heavenly Father, we praise you, God. We praise you for what's happening in Romania. We praise you for the ministry of Heart to Heart and what they do with the orphans of Romania, people who are not thought of, people who are discarded. God, that you come in and you re-identify who they are. Father, I pray for these students as they begin to ask the questions how they can be involved. God, what does it look like that you'll impress upon their hearts? What it looks like for them to go back to their churches, to go back to their communities, their sports teams, their families, God, that they will be able to see what they can do to further your kingdom. God, that they will love people the way that you loved us. Father, I pray for a day that is going to be a blast. But Lord, I also pray that we don't let this week get away from us as it moves so quickly. And although we do recreation and we glorify you through that, and although we have fun at pond competitions and pool competitions and all these things that we can do, God, that we don't lose focus on the fact that this week we are here to learn about who you are and what you've done for us. God, we are here to learn that we are bad kings. God, that we are supposed to take ourselves off of that throne that we make and to place you on it. And when we do that, it changes the entire trajectory of our lives, everything that we do. God, I pray that this week you will affect our lives, and because of that, we will be able to affect the lives of others, and eternity will be changed. Father, we love you. We praise you in your name. Amen. All right, guys, head on out. You're going to hang out with your cabins. Go to your cabin times. Wait for that bell.